friendship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Mark chapter 3, verse 27. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. That was Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Kind of an unusual verse to launch into a program, but it'll all make sense. And this is going to be a very, very unique program. In fact, if you were tuned in yesterday, I had author evangelist Lee Thomas on the phone. And the skinny is, after we finished the program, I continued recording his voice in our conversation. And so he's a great storyteller. So he told me a number of stories. We just interacted very casually. And about 10 minutes into the program, and you'll hear it, I said, hey, can I have permission to use this for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends? And he said, sure. So what you're about to hear was our recorded conversation off air, where we talk in detail about praying effectively for the lost. And we kind of picked up where we left off yesterday in the conversation during the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, talking about the importance of having a right understanding of Almighty God and how many times that's blurred because of the relationship we had with our earthly father. So here's that conversation as recorded off air on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I'll give all the details how you can get the book Praying Effectively for the Lost and how to contact Lee Thomas at the end of the program.
Mark, I could spend 4 or 5 hours just telling you story after story after
sure.
story.
Sure. Yep, you know? Yep. And I agree. Mm-hmm. I talk about that, how oftentimes we indict God the Father according to how we view our earthly dad. And even if we had a great dad, they might have been late for our 16th birthday or didn't give us the gift we wanted. And so even the best dads fall short of who God the Father is. And then there are some people that don't know even who their dad is. And so I share that a lot, that when we understand the true character of God and how Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, that familiar like daddy, that intimate look, when we know the true nature of God, we're drawn to him. But because of workaholic dads or inept dads or dads that violated or so forth, it mars our image of who God really is. You're preaching out of my hymn book.
I was in a church in Lexington, Kentucky on a Monday night. I'll never forget it. This has been a while back. I had two preacher friends there that night, and we had several churches to come together. And I talked praying for the lost. And at the end, we had a question-answer time. There was a medical doctor there, and he raised his hand. He said, how do you find out what the issue is? Because when you go to the doctor, they run tests on you to find out what's wrong with you. So he just want to know, how do you find out what the issue is that blinds a person to the gospel? I said, well, you use God's phone number, JER333. Jeremiah 33:3. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things. I know it's not. That verse doesn't say he'll do great mighty things for you. It says he'll show you things you don't know. So I said, you ask the Lord to show you. So one of my preacher friends that was there, and he was waving his hand. He wanted to tell a story. I said, okay, Gary, tell us a story. He had a jail ministry, and so he told this story. He said, I was in the jail witnessing these inmates. And this one inmate just kept disturbing, kept disturbing, kept disturbing. He said, couldn't get anything done. He said, finally, I just silently prayed, said, Lord, what's the issue in this life? And he said, the Holy Spirit said, now, the thing about Gary is when he goes on a mission trip overseas, he teaches the yellow book. So he was very familiar with it. So he prays, Lord, what's the issue in this life? As the Holy Spirit said, ask him about his daddy and then ask him about his uncle. So Gary looked at this inmate, never seen him before. He said, tell me about your daddy. This guy said, my daddy's dead. And Gary said, well, what about your uncle? He's going to ask him that question. He started screaming at me. She said, who told you about that? His uncle had killed his daddy, and he was bitter over it. But Gary didn't know that. He thought Gary knew that his uncle killed daddy, but Gary didn't. He prayed, said, Lord, what's the issue? So the Holy Spirit, you know, revealed what the issue was. The man got saved. I was in a church in Kentucky, and the pastor wanted to go with him to witness to a lady that ministered to. So we went to see her. She was about 60 years old, and she'd been drinking. So the pastor witnesses to her, encouraged her to trust Christ. She just started talking about other stuff. It's like she never heard what he said. So then I took my turn. I witnessed to her. I shared the gospel to her plain and simple. I shared the gospel with hundreds of people, maybe thousands, one-on-one. And I just made it really plain and simple. And when I got through, I encouraged her to trust Christ. And she just started talking about other stuff. It's like she never heard what I said. So the pastor's talking to her for the second time now. While he's talking to her this time, I'm silently praying. I'm saying, Lord, what is the issue in her life? And the Holy Spirit said, molestation. Now, since the pastor was talking to her, I didn't want to intervene and say, hey, you know, have you ever been molested? So God revealed to the pastor. Suddenly the pastor looks at her and he says, have you ever been molested? She just hung her head. Tears well up in her eyes. And when she could finally compose herself, she said, when I was 9 years old, one of my girlfriend's grandfather molested me. And I said to her, well, you got to forgive this guy. She said, well, I have. She had. We spent an hour and a half talking to her about the Lord, but it was obvious she hadn't forgiven the guy. And we didn't win her to the Lord either. When I prayed, the Lord, what is the issue? The Holy Spirit said molestation. So when you witness to somebody, it's good if you know what it is so you can mention it or break it. Now, if you're praying for somebody that you're not going to be witnessing to, maybe they live in California or somewhere, you don't have to know what it is. You just know that it's a stronghold that blinds a person to the gospel. And so that's what I call it. But if you know what it is, and you can pray for it specifically, and it'll break, and you can win them to Christ. So here's another key issue. I mentioned this earlier, but it's an important point out again. A person may have a dozen different sins, but there's always just one that blinds them to the gospel. In one, it may be greed. Another, it may be lust. Another, it may be pride. Another, it may be bitterness. And it just goes on down the line. And so one man, a businessman I was praying for years ago, he's dead now, but I was praying for one day, and I said, Lord, what keeps Gene from getting saved? And I assumed it was greed because he was a businessman. You know, I just took it for granted. And the Holy Spirit said, control. I said, Lord, I don't know what that means. What does that mean, control? He wouldn't tell me. He wanted me to find out on my own. So this guy was a wealthy businessman. He had a son that had a rare disease. It was in the Houston hospital about an hour and a half, 2 hours from where I live. And so I went over to the hospital and counseled with him and prayed for him and ministered to him. And that's when I discovered this guy controlled his business, his family, with an iron fist. Some of his family were afraid of him because of that. And so when I discovered that control was the issue, I understood. What the Lord was saying is, you know, you can't get saved to be in control. You have to surrender. So his issue was not greed just because he was a businessman, but it was control. He had to be in control of everything. So there's always an issue. I witnessed to a doctor one time. I pastored in one town, and this old doctor, he delivered most of the babies that had been born there in the last several years. He was a town doctor. Everybody loved him. Good old man. But he was now old and sick. He was in the hospital, and I went specifically to witness to him. And, Mark, I shared the gospel with him. He looked up from his sick bed, and he said, Preacher, he said, my education will not let me believe that a man died on a cross took care of my sin problem. He was too smart to get saved. So there's always just one issue. And I'll tell you something funny real quick. It's not funny, but it's unusual the way God works. When I was younger and I didn't understand these principles, I had such a passion to win souls. I'd witness to strangers. You know, I'd knock on people's doors, didn't know they lived there, and tell them about Jesus. And God just gave me a boldness. And I could look back, and there were times when I'd be witnessing somebody, and suddenly I would quote them a scripture that I didn't even know. And it had nothing to do with soul winning, and I didn't understand it. And now that I look back, and what was happening is God knew what the issue was in that person's life, and I didn't even know there was such a thing. And he would give me a scripture I didn't even know to quote that dealt with the issue that the person had to help break it. So he was helping me win souls. I didn't even know what was going on, but I look back now, and I see what was happening. So there's always one particular thing that keeps a lost person from getting saved, and when that's broken, they come to Christ. So that's one of the key things.
Well, one thing I didn't even get to bring up, and it was one of the major healthy convictions I derived from reading your book, and I didn't bring it up last Wednesday when I had you on or on today's broadcast, but distractions that keep us from praying. As you know, one of the least attended functions at the church is like the prayer night on Wednesday or whatever, and I think because of everyone's busyness, mine included, even busyness doing the Lord's work, like doing many ministry things, not that it's become an idol, but it's so consuming of my time that praying oftentimes is, it's a quick prayer or, I'll pray about that later. And I have found, and I think it's true, our society is so busy. We're being entertained to death and running around doing so many different things, even maybe God-honoring things, but it cuts into our effectiveness because we don't spend the quality time praying.
Yeah.
I think Satan is using all the entertainment, the sports, and everything to keep us away from praying because he knows the power in prayer.
Yeah, that's the only thing that defeats him, really, is prayer. But here's another thing about prayer, Mark. All prayer is warfare. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and then he says go out and pray with all kinds of prayer. There are several different kinds of prayer. So put on your armor. A soldier puts on his armor when he's going out to fight. So all prayer is warfare. And so warfare is not fun. People just, it's something that, they may just say a little prayer, but they, I mean, they hadn't really gotten into praying, you know. I mean, there's a difference in saying a prayer and in praying. And all prayer is warfare. So when you start praying, you're in warfare, and sometimes it's a tough battle, and folk don't want to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to share this with our listeners, you know, these two different broadcasts. But I think we talked another 10 minutes, so I may, with your permission, may use some of your storytelling. So I might have a Wednesday broadcast that will say, I kept Lee on the phone with me for some additional time, sharing some more stories. And so I'll do an intro and then I'll promote your book. But do I have permission to share? You were just kind of doing extensive teaching, and so I think that would be beneficial for Wednesday's broadcast.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to do, brother, is fine with me. We just want to see folks get saved, you know?
Okay. So I'll do that, and then, you know, I'll say what you were just hearing was an additional 10-minute conversation I had as we closed out the program. Then I'll mention the book.
There's some stories in the book that you might just plug in there, you know?
Yeah, because you gave one, I can't find it right now, but Bishop Franklin, it was funny, Bishop Franklin, when he recommended it, I said, oh, wow, 60 pages, I can finish this in no time. And he said, no, Mark, it's not like that. You're gonna read it and think about it and pause, and it's not a quick read. He said, you'll see. So that has been the case. Yeah. I went through it, but there's so many good illustrations and stories.
Yeah, well, however you want to do it, brother, it's fine with me.
Okay, well, thank you for the time on the phone.
Let me tell you a couple of quick stories real quickly. I went into full-time evangelism in September of 2004. And, you know, in evangelism, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, churches don't use evangelists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was praying sometime during that time about open meetings. I mean, I had just started into full-time evangelism. When I resigned my church in September, I only had four meetings lined up for the rest of my life. I mean, that was it. And just stepped out on faith. And so I was praying, Lord, open doors for me. And we had sent, I had sent a case of books to Andalusia, Alabama. And somebody in there had gotten them into the hands of several pastors. So I was praying. I said, Lord, I've sent a lot of books to Andalusia. Open doors for me to go down there. And while I'm praying, my phone rings. It's a pastor from Andalusia, Alabama.
Huh.
And he'd run out of books. He wants more books. We'll get to talking. And so he lines up a meeting for me to come like in March of the next year, which was 05. And so in January of 05, I had a meeting in Louisiana, and the pastor was, by vocational, he was also a state trooper. And so I shared the material, and on a Sunday, we had a lunch, dinner on the ground. I shared again. And he said, Lee, I'm going to Andalusia, Alabama tomorrow, which is Monday, on a hunting trip. And the preacher buddy of his, they go down there and to deer hunt, at least his preacher friend did. He was going with him this time. And I hadn't even mentioned Andalusia, Alabama. It wasn't even on my mind. He said, but they've got a man down there they've been praying for years, and so I'm going to share this material with my preacher friend on the drive tomorrow, probably about a five-hour drive or a little longer. And he said, I'm going to share this material with him on the drive, and we're going to pray for this guy. You know, they've been praying for him for years. And so that's what they do. So later, I get the story back. They got down to Andalusia, Alabama. The first place they went was this guy's house. His name was Harry Peacock. And they get talking to Harry. And, again, the church had been praying for him for years and years and years, and Harry just never did get saved. And so Harry shared with him that he was one of the original Green Berets. Now, I don't know how much he shared with him, but he just shared with him, I've done some things that I don't feel God will forgive me for. And I found out later, Harry Peacock was like the original Rambo. I mean, he was the guy that if they needed somebody to kill, they'd send Harry Peacock to do it. I mean, he could kill you with his hand, he could kill you with a knife, he could kill you with a gun. I mean, he was one bad dude. I guess he had killed so many people that he felt like God would forgive him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as Robert heard that, that was my friend that I'd been in his church, state trooper. He said, Harry, he said you were an agent of the United States military. You were under the authority of the United States government. You weren't out there murdering people. You were just doing what you were told to do. You were obeying orders. And he turned to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which says all authority comes from God. And he said, you were under the authority of the government. You weren't out there just killing people because you wanted to kill them. It's like all of a sudden Terry realized, you know. So my friend Robert preached that in a little small church. And here comes Terry Peacock down the aisle. He gets gloriously saved. And he's got a buddy named Fred that's 80 years old. They've been praying for Fred. He was there that night. Fred gets saved. And so what happened is Harry, he had killed so many people in war that he felt like God would not forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
But when this preacher gave the scripture under authority, it changed his perspective. He realized he wasn't out there murdering people. He was just doing what he was told to do as a soldier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably a lot of soldiers that have killed people that feel like God won't save them because of what's done. That's what the devil makes them feel. And here's one that's even more unique. We had a man in our church that he had kind of an unusual testimony. So I asked him to share it with me one day, and he did. I said, would you write that down for me? And one of these days I'd like to write a book just some of the stories. I mean, I got some wonderful stories about people getting saved when people pray for them. But anyway, he was wanting to get saved, but he said, I didn't know what to do. And so he decided he'd go to his daddy's. He's already moved out of home. You know, he said, I'm going to go visit my daddy and ask him what they do. He said, I'm working like two jobs. Can't hardly get by, and I just don't know what to do anymore. And he was trying to find the Lord, and he couldn't find the Lord. So he went to his daddy's house, and he said, Daddy, you know, he told him the situation. Because he had prayed. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you think I ought to do? And the Holy Spirit just said, do what your daddy tells you to do. And so he went to his daddy's house and told him the situation. And he said, Daddy, what do you think I ought to do about this? He said, just do what you've been doing. And he said, I got in my car to leave, and he didn't give me any advice. He didn't help me. He said, but he said, do what you've been doing. He said, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He got saved because what had happened is he'd been rebellious all of his life. He had never obeyed his daddy, whatever. He was just so rebellious against his daddy. So when he was seeking God, he said, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, just do whatever your daddy tells you. So he went to his daddy to find out what his daddy thought he ought to do. And, of course, he didn't give him advice. He said, just do what you've been doing.
Yeah.
But when he said, okay, I'm going to do what my daddy said, bam, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He got gloriously saved and changed his life. So the stronghold was rebellion. He'd been rebellious against his daddy, but he hadn't done what his daddy told him. And so when he prayed, the Holy Spirit said, go talk to your daddy, do whatever he tells you to do.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a strange story, but, I mean, it shows that there's always one issue that keeps a person being saved. And sometimes it's just a little thing like that, you know, just you hadn't done what your daddy said, you know.
Yeah, well, that key is figuring out that stronghold that's keeping them blinded. That's what I got to start thinking more through.
Well, just ask the Lord.
Yeah.
Just ask the Lord. Lord, show me what it is, and he'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for all this time. And so, yeah, you set it up for me.
Well, good.
Hey, thank you so much, and look forward to maybe seeing you in person in March.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care. Thanks.
Okay. Mark, God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, listening friend, if you're scratching your head a little thinking, that was a pretty casual conversation for a radio interview, and you didn't hear my opening remarks, let me give you a little background so you understand the flow of things. Last Tuesday, February 10th, I had Bishop Franklin on. It was a Testimony Tuesday, but he shared about a book that just fascinated him. In fact, he's received like four or five cases of praying effectively for the lost by Lee Thomas. Well, I got a copy from him, and he mailed them out to the pastors in the greater Springfield area and also handed them out at the Ministerial Alliance meeting a few weeks ago. So I had him on last Tuesday, February 10th, and he talked about this book and how it's really revolutionized his thinking and his method of praying for the lost. Well, last Tuesday, after I had him on, I said, maybe I can get the author, Lee Thomas, on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So on very short notice, if you listen to that program, we pulled it off. And so Wednesday, February 11th, was Lee sharing about his faith journey, life story, and his testimony. And we really didn't have time to get into the book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. So we worked it out that he was available for another phone call for the next Tuesday's program, and that was yesterday, February 17th. So he gave a little recap of his testimony, and then we got into the book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. And so as that program was wrapping up, and those of you that tuned in yesterday heard it, I oftentimes continue recording a conversation because I've found that sometimes people get really relaxed or they think of some special stories or additional illustrations that they wish they would have shared over the air. And so about 10 minutes into talking, and you would have heard that if you heard today's program, I said, Lee, maybe I can take what we've said and shared and put it into a program for Wednesday for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And he said, sure, fine. And so then we talked some more, and then he told some more stories. And so it really took up about 20 minutes of today's program. And so it was very informal. It was on the fly. And so that's what you heard today, was just a conversation that we had over the phone, talking about a myriad of things, but mainly focusing on the importance of praying effectively for the lost. And so I highly recommend this book. And so you can find out more at PelMinistries.org, Pel, P-E-L, Ministries.org. Or you can text and call Lee directly at 337-515-0629, 337-515-0629, or email him at userlee484 at AOL.com, userlee484 at AOL.com. Now, if you missed last Tuesday or Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends, or yesterday or today, you want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. If you weren't able to write down the information on how to get a hold of Lee Thomas or get this book, Praying Effectively for the Lost, for our East Central Illinois listeners, just call us at 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. For our Central Illinois listeners tuned into the WLUJ family of stations, call 217-528-2300. 217-528-2300. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.